Hey, everybody. This is Andy Marquette. I am joined today by my colleague, Lise McTague. Hi, Lise. We're Les Geek Out. Geekly by weekly, here we are for you. How are you? The podcast that talks about all things, well, not all things, but a lot of things geekly.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to be like geekly every other hour to do all of the geekly things.
Oh my God, every minute, probably.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, nothing would ever get done. That would be problematic.
And, yeah, I still have a day job, so.
Yeah, so do I. So, Lise, how are you?
I'm good. Better than you, because I have two ear infections, because I can't just get one thing.
I know, right? I'm just like, ear infection, sinus infection, I do not half-ass anything. Just so people know. So if you hear me cough a little bit in the background, sorry, friends. I am coming out of some grossness. Anywho, Lisa and I just did a whole bunch of chit-chatting beforehand, but now we're actually going to do some chit-chatting to you, dear listeners. And this week's special geekly bi-weekly topic that we are discussing is a movie that Lisa and I both love, a 2007 film called Hot Fuzz. Dun, dun, dun. And I'm going to give you all like a rundown of this. Some of you, okay, if you saw Shaun of the Dead, then this movie is part of that series. And I'm going to tell you all about that series in a minute. And it stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And they're British comedies, freaking hilarious. Hot Fuzz is a buddy cop action comedy film. And it stars Simon Pegg as Nicholas Angel, who's like super overachieving in the London Metro Police Service. His arrest record is like 400% higher than everybody else's. And so his colleagues who think he's just like, they're so jealous. They arrange for him to be promoted to work in like this like, fly spec village in Gloucestershire, a crime-free idol and regular winner of Village of the Year award, but strange things are afoot in the village. So he's like exiled to this village and he hates it at first, but he meets up with Nick Frost's character, Danny Butterfield. And so they end
Butterman.
Up having,
it's Butterman.
Oh, Butterman. They end up having like this cool buddy thing, but there's some other things going on there too. I wanted to bring up with regard to, and Lise, I didn't know this actually about these films, and maybe you did. Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead and the other one, The World's End, that from 2013. Mm-hmm. Those are all part of like this kind of trilogy called the Cornetto trilogy. Mm-hmm. Did you know about this? I did not know about this.
I did know.
Nice.
I mean, okay. Only because I was like, huh, these guys seem to make a lot of movies together, and then I looked into it at some point, like 2 years ago. I was like, oh, that's cool.
So for the listeners, the name that Cornetto trilogy, it originates from a joke during the promotion of Hot Fuzz. And the writer of the film had written in Cornetto ice cream as a hangover cure for Nick Frost's character in Shaun of the Dead. And this was based on the writer's own experience. So at the party, after party for the film, they got free Cornetto ice cream. So the writer and Simon Pegg decided to include another reference to Cornetto ice cream in the next film in a failed attempt to get more ice cream. In Hot Fuzz, the writer, Edgar Wright, included, although Simon Pegg actually wrote with Edgar Wright on Hot Fuzz, included a couple of brief throwaway scenes that referred to the Cornetto joke in Shaun on the promotion tour of Hot Fuzz during production of The World's End. That's the third movie in the trilogy, 2013. One interviewer pointed out the use of Cornetto in the first two films. So Wright considers each of these films a Trojan horse, genre films that have a relationship comedy smuggled inside a zombie movie, a cop movie, and a sci-fi movie, World's End. Mm-hmm. Hot Fuzz is the cop movie, all right? So I'm going to turn it over to you, Lise, because there's something else going on with the buddy element here.
Yes, the buddy element. And you and I started talking about this because of like the research that I'd done looking into the whole, like, you know, barrier gaze and queer baiting tropes. And I'd run across this random article that was talking about how Hot Fuzz was an example of queer coding versus queer baiting. And I think it was in the Mary Sue, that original article. But you can find other things online about sort of the queer subtext. And what it refers to, so originally when they wrote this movie, they wrote Nicholas Angel, Simon Pegg's character, they wrote him a girlfriend. Because, you know, part of the whole point of the movie is that he needs to learn to care about something other than being a super duper badass cop who does everything by the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they realized pretty quickly that this character was sort of just there for that and wasn't really doing anything else. And they couldn't really justify keeping her as, like, a character in her own right. And so, and this is so brilliant. I mean, I wish more people would think of this. So they nixed the character, but they gave all of her lines to Danny, his like cop partner. So you have these lines that, you know, in a different context would lead to Nicholas and this girlfriend or this woman that, you know, becomes his girlfriend would like lead to them like making out or this and that. But instead in the movie, they just end up watching a whole bunch of like buddy cop movies instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a fascinating way of dealing with it and a way of sort of bringing in some depth of character and some depth of relationship between these two guys that you just don't see in that way in a buddy cop movie.
Right? No, you don't.
Because buddy cop movies, you know, yeah, you got these two cops and you got these two buds, but they're always like hyper masculine and they don't really talk much about their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about going out and getting the bad guy and getting the job done, and then one or the other banging their girlfriends. Right?
Right, right.
Usually the person that they're saving.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that scene that where they're Danny and what's his face? Nick. Did he go by Nick or Nicholas? Or just Constable Angel?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're sitting on that couch and they're kind of hanging out. And they get progressively drunker on their mm-hmm. Danny's house on his sofa. And Nicholas confesses that he doesn't know how to switch off, right? That was the complaint mm-hmm. that his previous girlfriend had. And Danny, so that there's that moment where he like leans way into his space, right? And he goes, mm-hmm. he says, I can help you with that, right? And you're just like, you're like, oh my God, they're going to freaking kiss. There's going to be like a dude makeout scene right here. But it didn't happen. You know, instead they end up, you know, watching all the mm-hmm. buddy cop films, like bonding over the bro cop films.
And it's interesting that original article that I read, and I wish I could remember the name. I'll get it to you so we can link it in the show notes. But it makes the point that the difference between like the queer baiting and the queer coding is that neither of them ends up with a girl at the end, you know, so that we're not being strung along so that they can end up with somebody better, you know, more normal, whatever. And in fact, you know, when we see them super later on, it's like they're still palling around and there's just plenty of space for us to fill in that isn't directly contradicted by the movie at the end. And it's also never contradicted by the writers. Like, oh, no, that's not going on. You know, they're in on the joke as well as the rest of us. That's the way you queer code things without making it all about like we're just going to reel you in for your advertising dollars and then turn it over to the cishets at the end.
And kill the queer or mm-hmm. or hook the possibly queer up with somebody's cishet.
Exactly.
Right. Hot Fuzz, it's a satire too. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of a satire on those where they mashed up like a cop movie and those British country mm-hmm. you know, the cozy murder.
A loving satire, I would
right?
say.
Right? And so, but it's got, there's like cameos too and guest appearances. I mean, Timothy Dalton mm-hmm. makes an appearance, mm-hmm. Peter Jackson, Cate Blanchett, you know, just some really big names make like appearances in this movie. So let's talk a little bit, and let's not spoil it. I don't want to do too many spoilers because this movie is hilarious. And I think people, you got to watch this because it's got a really whimsical, but grim side to it that just works. Somehow it's like, this mm-hmm. this shit should not work. This is insane, but it does work. So here comes Nicholas Angel into this little village that always wins Village of the Year, and everybody's really obsessed with making sure the village stays Village of the Year, like the best place to live. It's idyllic. It's like beautiful. And it's like a classic English country village. Mm-hmm. And there's like a town council that is really like gung-ho Chamber of Commerce kind of thing. Like, we're going to keep this place great, and we're going to get rid of the riffraff, and going to make it beautiful. We're going to be, you know, the Village of the Year. There's something underneath that, though. Mm-hmm. There's something going on with this council. And Nicholas Angel kind of stumbles into it. And if you saw Shaun of the Dead, you know how that kind of happens, how Shaun kind of starts figuring stuff out. And Nicholas Frost, his co-guy, they kind of like start figuring out together. It's sort of like that in this, too. Mm-hmm. But Danny Butterman, you know, he's been there all his life, basically. So he's like,
it's, you know, just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
He's too close to it.
Right.
Well, and the way they set up, like, the very first sort of feeling that something is wrong was brilliant. So, you know, the scene where Nicholas Angel, he's like, he's checking into that hotel for the first time, and there's that nice little old lady at the front desk. And then out of nowhere, she's like, fascist. And he's like, what?
He's like,
and she's like, and it's a crossword clue. And he's like, oh, okay. Hag. And just like gets it back to her. And it's another crossword clue because she's working on this crossword. But you have that moment of like, something is not the way we think it is. And then it gets turned into a joke and you laugh it off. But it sets everything up right from there.
Yeah, it does. You know? And then he goes to the pub. Right after he drops his stuff off, he goes to the pub, and you know, everybody kind of gives him a look, but they know they were getting a super cop, so they know they know who he is, you know. So he goes into the pub and he's just kind of hanging out, and he walks past those like scruffy looking teens, those kids, you know. And there's like kind of this moment, like he just kind of looks at them. He's like, and then when he leaves the pub, he goes past where they were on that fountain. And there's like some graffiti there or something. Do you remember that? And so you're wondering what happened to the teens. At least I did. so you're like, huh. And it's just, he just kind of like the way his character kind of assessed and was like, So,
yeah. And then he like ends up arresting half of the town's,
oh my God,
you know, teenagers, because the rest of the town's teenagers are apparently in the bar getting drunk. And of course that's against the law.
Oh my God, that's right. He arrested a bunch. They were all sitting there in the pub. Everybody was getting drunk, including the teenagers. Like, like not the scruffy ones that he had passed, but.
Right.
And so then he ends up, people like, you know, there's a reporter who starts reporting on him and spells his name Angle. And so then these things just keep happening, like weird things. Like Timothy Dalton's character was really funny. He's kind of part of the town council, and he's just got this, he plays a supermarket owner. And so
Skinner. Yeah.
Skinner. And so he's like got this kind of like smarmy car salesman way about him. And he's always got like this look like he's up to something. Kind of this little smirky thing.
The smirk.
And you're just
under that mustache and like the crinkle of the eyes. And
you're like, that dude's up to something. I don't know what, but that dude is definitely up to something. And so then we've got Cate Blanchett's character. Talk about her.
So we only get her for a little bit, but she plays Janine, who is Nicholas Angel's ex-girlfriend, the one that, you know, they're on a break. And after he gets, you know, promoted out of London, he goes to tell her that he's taking off and at a crime scene, because I guess she's like a CSI of some kind.
So romantic.
And yeah, it's just, it's hilarious because they're like talking about this and they're like, you know, there's like blood splatter on the wall and people taking, you know, samples and dusting for prints and this and that. And
he's like, I'm leaving. And she's like, oh, you're just all obsessed with your job. And it's like kind of almost a breakup too. And it's like, you know, there's people like doing all the work. And she's apparently also having an affair with one of the coworkers there. Yep. Doing the crime scene.
You're like, Bob? No. James? No. I.
Like, so bad. So then he ends up, you know, here he is in this village and he's trying to do, because he's super cop. And he does everything. He's very, I don't know if proper is the right word. He's like excels at everything that he does in terms of being a cop. Mm-hmm. And, but he's kind of like this low-key guy, kind of a bookish looking dude. And so you don't see how he could possibly, you know, be like the super cop. And then the beginning, they give you like all the super cop things he does. And you see him like looking, you know, striking poses and like being mm-hmm. All right, ma'am, we're done, you know, and just like being really into it. So then he gets to this village and there's like nothing to do.
Because
the village elders are involved in, let's just call them projects
mm-hmm.
to keep crime down. And I'm not going to say any more than that because I don't want to spoil this film. But let's talk more about the bromance between Nicholas and Danny.
Well, yeah. And of course, that starts out on like completely the wrong foot, because not only is Nicholas Angel having to arrest a whole bunch of kids in the pub, but he ends up arresting Danny because Danny was also there getting completely sloshed and tries to drive home. In fact, he almost kills Nicholas by like backing up and almost hitting him. So he basically like drags him down to the police station with the teens. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can go sleep it off in 4. And then so he comes back the next day, and Nicholas is like, okay, I, you know, he wants to see the drunk. And he looks in, and he's like, oh, my God, he's gone. And Danny's like, who's gone? And then he shows up in a policeman's uniform. And it's like, I'm sorry, a police officer's uniform.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, ah, shit.
That was hilarious. Because the department in the village is just like, oh my God.
It's completely dysfunctional. Let's see. There's Danny. His mm-hmm. dad is like the chief inspector. There's the woman. Oh shoot. What's her name?
God, I
can't remember
about it,
but she has like the most sort of filthy and inappropriate sense of humor of anyone there. There's the canine officer who no one can, well, you can't understand what he's saying. And then there are like the two, two detectives.
Oh my God,
who
those
I think
two
are really just not at all happy with having Nicholas around.
Oh no, they're so snarky. Doris? Was Doris?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I think so. Yeah. And so they don't like him. And I think they're more than a little bit intimidated by him.
Yeah, they're constantly like belittling him and making fun of mm-hmm. him because of his by the book mm-hmm. manner and how he's like, we got to do it this way, dun dun dun.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then he's like, and he of course sees murder everywhere, and they see murder nowhere, even when like shit blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even
like
when,
literally like, blows up
when there's shit, like there's crazy shit going on. But towards the end, you know they all manage to somehow come together.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out as you kind of watch the relationship, the gay subtext, the relationship mm-hmm. between Danny and Nicholas develop, and they become, I don't, you know,
friends.
They pretty much were like boyfriends practically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the way they acted with each other. And even towards the end, at the very end, when you see them together, you're just like, how are these dudes not a thing?
mm-hmm.
So I love that. I love that idea. I love how they embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that, they did a Twitter exchange like in 2009, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg were on there riffing on talking about the gay subtext. They flat out said it on Twitter, and they mm-hmm. called the movie, they actually referred to Hot Fuzz as slash fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is. It totally is. But, you know, you don't get the consummation scene. but it totally is. It fills mm-hmm. the genre. It fills a romance genre. And I was thinking about what you said because I watched it the second time knowing that they gave all of the woman's lines to Nick Frost's character. And I was thinking about that. And I'm like, wow, this totally makes it so gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a buddy cop rom-com is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Like even the way it's set up is like total romance novel. You know, they hate each other at the beginning. There's that misunderstanding, and then they're forced to work together, and Nicholas ends up kind of mentoring Danny, but then Danny's dad, like, gets between them, and they have to overcome all of this to finally, and, you know, spoilers, of course, I don't want to get too much more into it, but, you know, it follows that arc, you know, all that's missing is the kiss.
Yeah, that, and we almost got that.
I mean, mm-hmm. I can help you with that.
I swear, you know, and the first time I didn't quite catch it. You know, I thought, wow, these two could totally be gay. But now that you have, like, the queer coding background and the fact that they embraced it,
yeah,
and it was a conscious decision on the part of the writers, it makes it all the more, I don't know, delightful to watch it again, knowing that that was put in there intentionally.
Yes.
That they made that choice. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the point, right, is that they made this choice.
They
could have just decided to stick with a chick, or they could have taken all the, you know, the gay lines and made it a much more sort of straight up homage to the, you know, the buddy cop films, but they didn't.
Right. They didn't. And that, I think, is just, it made it all the more campy. So there's a real campy edge here. There's a lot of sight gags and, like, you know, that fucking Lily. Nicholas is, you know, that's he like shows up in this village with his suitcase and a potted lily. So that lily kind of makes the rounds through the film. Like, it's almost another character. So, and then you have like kind of like, you know, the campiness of it when he's doing his police work and, you know, here he is, the super cop. And there's that scene where they're chasing somebody. He and Danny are chasing somebody and he has to jump those fences.
Yes.
So he's like parkouring over the fences, like, woo, super athlete. And then the last one, he like jumps over it like Superman. He like clears like a 12-foot fence, you know.
And
you're just like,
does this like totally unnecessary flip.
It's just like, no, that would just, but it's just like, it, like I said, it works. Everything fit in this movie, which was, I don't know, it's hilarious. Okay, so what's your favorite part of the movie?
Oh my gosh, I think my favorite part of the movie has got to be like the big climax, because that is totally where, like, the guns blazing, sort of really kind of what you think of as sort of American style cop movie just really comes in. But it's in this like quaint little village. And I mean, part of me, it's like looking at that, I was like, if I wrote that movie, I would have started with that scene. And I would have worked everything back so that we ended up there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because for me, I mean, that is just like the crystallization of everything that's going on in the movie, right? You have the over-the-top, like, cop stuff. And, you know, I mean, yeah, because that kind of arsenal is going to show up in the UK. But they managed to figure out how to make it make sense in the story. And you have the, like, the cozy, quaint little town. And then you've got the bromance. And all three of those come together in that scene.
I don't know, though, because I kind of liked the working up to it and not knowing where exactly things were going to go, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, if I had written that, I would have been like, okay, I want a movie where we have a shootout in the quaintest fucking town we can think of.
Oh, my God.
Now, how do we make that happen?
And I see that it could have been fun. You know, starting with that scene and then doing like 3 weeks earlier or whatever, you know, and then you just kind of work up from there. But the way they opened it and they dropped you right into Nicholas's life.
Oh, yeah.
That was just like, boom. And you're like, okay, we're going to follow this cop. Where's this cop going to go? So he goes to the sleepy village and he like, you know, he's kind of trying to learn the village. Nothing ever happens in the village. Until it does. Right?
And it has been.
And things have really, creepy, macabre things have been happening in this village.
Yeah.
And he uncovers it slowly and he's unraveling it and nobody wants to believe him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, who wants to believe that that kind of stuff is going, A, going on under your nose, and B, you know, this isn't the first time it's happened. I mean, there are what? There's like four or five murders before it gets to the point where it's like, yeah, we got to take care of this shit.
Yeah. Four, five. Oh my God. In one of those murders with the steeple. Oh my
God. The gore. Yeah. That's like right out of Hellraiser.
That was like, that was insane. And it was just like, I'm not sure that fits here, but it kind of does from, if you're carrying it over from Shaun of the Dead, you know, it was like,
yeah. I mean, there's a decent amount of gore in the movie. But it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, it's so kind of over the top.
It's super campy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your favorite scene?
I liked, the last scene, of course, the buildup was so good. You know, the way that the relationships were kind of like forming. And then you're watching Nicholas sort of maybe not completely settle in at first. So I like certain elements like that, kind of watching him figure things out and work things through. And the developing bromance with Danny, who knows, maybe it'll be a romance. They could do a follow-up. I think I like that scene right before the really gory one where there's like a crescendo of like stress and the reporter goes to meet him and gets killed, and in the most horrific way possible, in broad freaking daylight, you know. Yeah. And at that point, everybody's just like, "Oh, it's just an accident. It was a terrible, most unfortunate accident." So I liked that buildup, and then that scene is so jarring. It's just like, "Whoa!" And then I liked the scene where he's coming back to help Danny towards the end, and he has like the buddy cop movie theme stuff going on, like the Bad Boys. I loved that because it was just like they had watched all those movies together. And so he was like, so out of that was so not his character to like go Bad Boys like that. And he did. Yep. And it would just worked. It was so cool. So it's a great walk up to that point. Because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what to expect in this movie. When you start,
no,
literally, you do not have any idea what is happening. And then you just kind of watch and you're just like, whoa, okay, didn't see that coming, you know? So it's one of those.
Yeah, it is so good. I want to go now and watch Shaun of the Dead and then World's End.
Yeah, you know what? We should actually do like Shaun of the Dead. We should like do a geekly bi-weekly on that because that movie's classic. So classic. So we are now approaching our 30-minute mark.
What?
The movie is Friends Hot Fuzz. And it is 2007. I watch it on Netflix, so I think it's still available on Netflix, but you can find it. And it's just a great, crazy romp. And it's a campy. It's got the gay subtext that the writers intentionally put in there. It's slash fiction. Have yourself some fun.
Have yourselves a gay old time.
Woo! So, Lise, tell us what you geeked out about.
Well, speaking of gay subtext, I and my wife, we watched Good Omens on Amazon Prime. And it was, oh my God, it was so good, Andy. So, Good Omens, I read Good Omens for the first time, I think when I was in college. It was actually my first introduction to Terry Pratchett was Good Omens.
Wow. And
I love that book. Love, love, love. Love it so much. The copy I have, the paperback, is water damaged because I used to read it in the bath. I know.
Oh my God.
I'm a heathen. And the Amazon Prime series was just, they did something really difficult to do. And Neil Gaiman is was the showrunner for this, because Terry Pratchett unfortunately passed away a few years back. But one of the things that he said to Neil Gaiman was, like, you have to get this made. This needs to become a thing. Because they've been trying to make it as, like, a movie or a TV show multiple times throughout the decades now. But they they hit this really fine line between staying true to the, like, the core of the book, but also updating it for current day.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just works so well. And then, of course, there's the very gay subtext between the angel and the demon that runs throughout the entire thing.
So is it just like the first season, or is there going to be more seasons? How does that work? Or is it just this one kind of mini thing about the book, based on the book?
Yeah, I think that it's going to stay. I mean, they kind of left the door cracked a little bit.
Mm.
But if I were a betting woman, I would put money on this being the only one. And it doesn't have to be anymore.
Right.
I would love for there to be more if they could hit the same mm-hmm. notes that they did with this one that just came out. But it's such a perfect morsel. It's just, I am so happy with just that as this thing.
The delicious
that exists
morsel.
And is out there and is just this perfectly self-contained piece. I mean, Frances McDormand is the voice of God, for crying out loud.
Oh, for real? Uh-huh. Holy crap. Oh yeah,
yeah,
legit,
it is
legit.
So good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you see the big kerfuffle on social media about that? About Good Omens?
I did, and I'm happy to hear that Netflix is going to not make any more episodes of Good Omens.
Okay.
So apparently the Christians got all up in arms about this movie and demanded that Netflix no longer show it on their platform. And Netflix was like, okay, because it's a Prime gig. It's not a Netflix gig. So yeah, they're being good little troopers, and Netflix will not show Good
any
Omens
more episodes
anymore
at
nope.
all. I guess Netflix and Amazon Prime were like kind of like teasing mm-hmm. back and forth with each other on Twitter about the whole thing, and like Netflix mm-hmm. was like, okay, fine, we won't show it anymore, and Amazon Prime is like, okay, fine, we will. Like, you know, it was
yeah.
really funny.
Well, and it's funny because Netflix has a much more satanic series on theirs, in, you know, the thrilling adventures of Sabrina,
which I have started watching, y'all. And yeah. Lise and I have discussed it a little bit. And Lise, you're right; it should not work, but somehow it
not
does.
Work. No, I mean
it should not. Work
it, they are totally upfront about the whole Satan thing.
It's but the
not sugar coated. It's not. It's just. It should be a big ball of ick, but somehow they managed to get it to work.
I don't understand how they get it to work, because the setting is so, it's kind of mm-hmm. jarring at first.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like this weird ahistorical thing. And
yes.
I don't know. And then you've got like the big Addams Family house, and it just should not fucking work. But somehow it does. And so I'm you know, like,
I'm sorry, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
The Chilling, yeah. So I'm working my way through the first season, and I'm just like fascinated by this and how mm-hmm. the story is unfolding. I'm just like, this is really intriguing. I don't know how this works, but there it is. Like,
yep.
Okay, so did you want to add anything more about Good Omens?
Watch God, it. I could go on about this for so long. It's lovely and like a nice big warm hug and exciting and wonderful, and yeah, it's just great. You should definitely see it.
Sounds awesome. Okay, my hurrah is Gentleman Jack, mm-hmm. and that is available on HBO. If you have Amazon Prime, you can do like a trial for HBO and watch it, and you know, just binge the thing, because there's only 8 episodes. They're an mm-hmm. hour long, and so that's what I did. I got last week. I like. Got the free sample, and then I just like watched like an episode a night, and then binged a couple on the weekend, and I was able to finish it in the allotted time. And it is, Lisa and I were talking about this earlier. It's a gorgeously filmed series. It's based on the diaries of Anne Lister, who lived in the early 19th century. I think she died in 1840. She was a landed noblewoman in England who kept extensive diaries, and she was also a very out lover of the ladies, if you will.
Hello.
I mean, she wasn't running around with gay pride shirts on, because obviously the context is very different. But she recorded all of this in her diaries. And apparently she wrote like 4 million words. I mean, this is mm-hmm. like extensive diary. And the seduction of women and what those aspects of her life, she wrote in a coded language that she developed apparently. And it's like a mixture of, I have no idea how this worked, friends, but algebra and Greek, whatever. One of her relatives cracked the code in 1930. So they have like this information about her. But anyway, this series is based on her diaries. And it's, I love the explorations of class, mm-hmm. of wealth, of sexuality and gender, of, you know, because there are things about Anne that I don't like in terms of that mm-hmm. class kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of it yet?
I have not.
Well, you should, damn it. That's your next project.
Yes, ma'am.
But I have thoughts.
I have to finish my edits first. Oh, okay. Everything's on hold until I finish my edit.
Okay. Because I have thoughts. I have many thoughts about mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of letting it settle because I just finished it like 2 days ago. And there are a lot of things that I want to talk about. So I may blog it and then I mm-hmm. think we should talk about it. So you should okay. You should watch it.
Yeah. Let me get some stuff cleared off my plate.
Oh, whatever. What are you, some kind of
Two
author?
2 years later.
Some kind of author? Oh, my God. Okay, friends. Well, guess what, Lise? That's it.
What?
No, no. Go us. And it's good because I'm losing my voice even more, friends. Dear listener, Andy wore herself out.
Aw.
So, woo.
For you guys.
I know, right? Who the hell are we? I am Andy Marquette, who sounds sick, and my colleague Lise McTague, the writer who has edits to do. What is that about? We are Les Geek Out, geekly bi-weekly, and you can find us at lesgeekoutcast.com, or you can find us on Twitter, LGO Podcast. So please drop us a line and let us know if you have something you want us to talk about, or if you yourself would like to talk about. Dun,
dun, dun. And we take guests.
We do. And find us on all the places, all the platforms. Do that like and subscribe thing. That makes us happy. And I guess it helps others find us. I don't know how. It's secret. That's like secret magic. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. So anyway, y'all, have a great 2 weeks. And again, let us know if you have something you want us to chit-chat about. And we will catch you later. Take care. Bye.